Paul, the day after a successful night like your club had last night, what's kind of the vibe around your room to make sure the trend continues here tomorrow?
I just handle your day. We have that as a theme for quite some time in Winnipeg, that we liked our game and we leave it there. We've got a day today to reinforce the things that we liked on video, and there's some areas that we want to be sharper at, and then rest and recover, do the things to get yourself prepped for tomorrow. But nobody's high-fiving anybody in the room. It's done.
Well, what does it do for this group when Dustin is as engaged as he appeared to be in game three?
Well, you know what? I'm going to say all series, and I'll say he built to it toward the end of the season. He missed half a year. And for a big man, sometimes it takes those guys a little while to get going. It doesn't for him. He's been able to come back off injuries and not look like he missed a beat. He's a special athlete for sure. But you're talking about he's our highest paid player, right? He's an impact guy. He's rare to be that physical, that strong, and he's offensively gifted. So when he's going, you got a much better chance of winning.
Paul, you've talked about Patrick's game kind of really rounding out over these last couple months. Is there one or two things that you can almost put a finger on to say that's what changed for him?
No, I think that he went through a really normal progression. What happens with him, I mean, no, there's not a lot of players like him, but when you put those numbers up, you kind of assume that the game is well-rounded. But he would have been no different than Nick Ehlers and Cal Connor and Mark when he first came into the league, all of them, that learning the NHL game and not having been exposed to it, being a European player, there's lots to learn. So that's just the consistency of just running your routes, of just doing your job. 80% of the game, nothing happens. You just do your job. They put it in, you get it out. You put it in, they get it out. And being patient in that game, that's where he's been better.
How much did his stint maybe with Blake and Mark help that overall game?
Well, I think that was the catalyst to it. It got him more minutes. So all players in your locker room are in shape. They're all great athletes. But there's a game shape that comes when you play a little bit more, you get into a better rhythm. And so he did that. And now he's up to speed. And I think anybody that we've put with Mark and Blake understand the difference then between playing against, and normally it's head-to-head like we see in this series, that you're playing against the top two defensemen on the best line the other team has. So that's a bunch of good players. They don't need you to make too many mistakes before it costs you. So they develop a whole different kind of appreciation for the game.
Just on that St. Louis top line, how do you feel the team has done in the three games as a whole? I know O'Reilly has the one goal, Tarasenko got the power play goal, but they haven't had much else.
Yeah, I don't know that that's not a story for me. Like, they scored a game winner, right? Nobody needs to dominate. Their second line and third line won them in a lot of ways those first two games. So we're good enough to be down one in this series. That's about it.
Your counterpart, sorry. Your counterpart on St. Louis' side said that wasn't them, that wasn't the Blues last night. When you watch the video, how much can you tell that this is your team's A game going on for especially two periods and that maybe the other team isn't? What can you tell?
There's the danger, right? That's the you get all excited about yourself and find out there was a gear missing maybe on the other side. We thought there were areas of our games, one and two, that could get better, and we think they did. That's the tug of war, right? They're gonna be better. They're gonna be. I would think we're gonna see more speed through the neutral zone, more direct plays with the puck. Those are the things that he's talked about. Those are the things that I talked about after we lost too, right? There's not that much magic out there. The game's fairly simple. We were a little better than they were last night. They were better, a little better than we were in the first two.
From an offensive, confidence, psychological standpoint, is there a difference between scoring six goals and winning and just winning but 1-0?
Win 1-0, the coach and the team's real happy. You score six and all the individuals are excited. Their agents are even happier.
There's something when you look at Patrick's, besides scoring the goal each game, about his game through the first three that has stood out to you in particular?
No, see, I think his game has been right on for a while, and he wasn't scoring. I know that causes a lot of concern on a lot of different areas, but not for me. I mean, he when he gets that kind of confidence back, it does. It comes off his stick different in his hands. But that would be true of any player. It's just most of us who have a tremendous amount of confidence, you can't tell because our game's no good. Gets a little bit of confidence, he could do something with it.
That goal, though, he scored last night, Paul, where he, in one fluid motion, knocks the pass down from Jacob and then beats Binnington. I mean, for a big man, is that a really impressive skill that he has to... with the hands?
I think because most of your highlights about Patty would be him shooting the puck, probably an underappreciated skill that he has is handling it. So there's the turnovers that young players make because they're not used to playing in a league where the D are so aggressively pinching, which everybody does now. But his passing and his puck handling are strong. It'll become more evident as he gets stronger, because he will eventually be a powerful skater. He may not be real quick or fast, but he's going to be a powerful skater, and then he's going to buy those hands a little bit more time, and he won't need much.
Paul, I'm sure you've coached against guys like this. You know, try as the Blues might, they don't want to give Patrick that space, but he just seems to find it. What's it like to be a coach trying to defend a guy like that?
Like Tarasenko? Right, it's the same thing. If he gets 2 feet, he's going to put it where he wants it, and all those shooters are like that. So you're trying to take as much space away from you. And why those great shooters are also good is they got good hands, so when you've got four guys running after them, they're going to put it somewhere else, right? You're not stopping those kind of players. They've been in the league. Patty's young, Tarasenko, Ovechkin, any of those shooters. We've all had the same game plan for the last 20 years. Nobody's ever stopped them. You're not going to. You just hope it's not tonight.
How early in the process did you know that Lowry tandem and Cobb line can be special and do some special things both on the checking side and in getting the own time?
That line is kind of, the idea of that line's been here for 4 years, but we've just had different players, right? Tanev comes in and he kind of, that speed says he can play there. We've run Joel Armia there. We had Kopp came into the league as a center. We liked that, but we moved him to the wing. So they're all three important pieces, but at the end of it, Adam Lowry drives that bus. Big, strong, powerful man that's physical. He's got good read. He can make enough plays with his hands. They're committed to it. Like, I think the answer to your question would be, he started to get a feel for it when they wanted that job, right? Everybody comes to the league, can't wait to score 25. It takes some years to get the expertise and get the reads to be a good defensive player, but they want that job, right? They want to be out against the other team's best, and they want that responsibility. And when they get that, their game settles. So there's no foolishness with the puck. And when you can get them to score a goal, then that's a big swing in your favor.
Yesterday you talked about getting offense from defense and moving the puck up ice. And a moment ago you mentioned every NHL forward check is really aggressive these days. So does that put the onus on your defensemen to be making really quick decisions your own end? And how do you feel that's going?
Yes, to the first part. It's a critical piece to all teams. It's what I thought their team did so very well. You know, that back end in their last 3 months, their back end, their style has changed. They're really effective. And I would say just better. We moved the puck a bit better last night than we had in the first two.
Is the speed of decision-making required part of why there's such consistency with Winnipeg's pairings?
We feel it's more just a comfort level. We have unique styles back there, right? Dustin's a different player. Ben understands that. Morrissey and Trouba have their own style of game, so the consistency of the pairings is just to try to get those guys to know the subtle nuances in the other player and support them all.
I guess not the most exciting question in the world, but heading into...
Yeah, that shouldn't stop you. It's never stopped anybody else in here. Not once.
But heading into game four, looking for that next step and continually improving the Jets game, how do you see the neutral zone fight breaking down heading into game four?
Well, we'll be careful about thinking about the next step. Would have said that in training camp too. You'd be real hard and real good at what you did. I didn't like our neutral zone in the first two very much, and I thought it was better with the puck and without it.
Just a
quick one on the physical play. The scrum seemed to be picking up.
Boring question, too. Yeah,
probably. The scrum seemed to be picking up post whistle scrums. Expect that to continue, and how do you feel your team handled that?
I think that's going to be two competitive teams in a tight series. I think that does increase until there's a cost to it. So we had been good on our PK up until last night. We had some clears that we need to be effective with. Our power play is pretty good. So that will be, I think it picks up just as the intensity and playoff series build rivalries, as the rivalry builds in this series. But neither team wants to cross that line. That's just the cost of it's too great.
I'll just one on Eric Comrie, to have a third goalie around. Obviously, what's the importance of that in a playoff series?
Rest and recovery. We get to the playoff time, and both our goaltenders have routines, game routines that they like. So it allows you to let Connor stay in a routine that he's comfortable with. Things change here now because they have 8:30 games of how we'll run our day. But on a normal 7 o'clock game, Connor prefers about 5 minutes. Just go out, feel a few pucks, and then having another goalie there lets us run a normal routine.